Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Let's read verse 3. All right, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." So there you go. I want you to remember that. Now I want to read some other verses here. I'm going to read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Bible says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another and with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." So let each esteem other better than themselves. Then it says, "In honor preferring one another." Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." One more verse, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." So I just want to talk about three words tonight. Here they are: respect, honor, and dignity. Respect, honor, and dignity. Let's just read the definition of these three words and then we'll get started on it. But respect means regard. It means that you regard somebody else. You consider them. You don't ignore their worth. You don't ignore their life. You don't ignore their feelings, anything about them. To respect means to regard, to pay attention to. Number two, it says that estimation or honor in which men hold the distinguished worth or substantial good qualities of others. That estimation or honor in which men hold the distinguished worth or substantial good qualities of others. Respect. It expresses less than reverence and veneration, which regard elders and superiors, whereas respect may regard juniors and inferiors. So did you get that? Reverence and veneration is called for in regard to elders and superiors. Husbands, love your wives as yourself, and let the wife see that she reverence her husband. How about that? We're to reverence God. It's a stronger word than respect, and it also applies to certain ones, not to everyone. We're not commanded to reverence everyone. We're really commanded to respect everyone and to honor everyone. Reverence kicks it up another notch for special people, special positions, and relationships. That deportment or course of action which proceeds from esteem, regard, due attention, as to treat a person with respect. It also means goodwill and favor, to respect somebody. If you don't respect somebody, you lose them.
That's right.
All right, let's look at the word honor. It means to revere, to respect. To treat with deference and submission. That means put them before you. To honor someone is to put them before you. You're honoring somebody when you open the door for them and let them go first. You're honoring somebody when you put them in front of you in the line at Walmart or wherever. You're honoring somebody by putting them ahead of yourself. To treat with deference and submission and perform relative duties too, such as Exodus 20, Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. It means to reverence, Honor means to reverence, to manifest the highest veneration for, in words and actions, to entertain the most exalted thoughts of. Now, I want you to, I know this is hard, but I want you to try to retain what these words mean and be able to put it all together as we read these verses. To dignify, to raise to distinction or notice, to elevate in rank or station, to exalt, honor. You honor somebody by, you know, somebody in the military is honored when they're promoted in rank. That's an honor. It's an honor to get to sit in a certain place or be with a certain person, to be elevated from nobody to being able to be associated or sit with other higher people than yourself. To dignify, dignity, we're going to talk about that a second here. But it means to treat with due civility and respect in the ordinary intercourse of life. Honor people. Honor all men. Going to read that verse later on, but that's what the Bible says. We're to honor all men. And the word reverence is part of the definition of honor. So what we ought to feel toward other people is more than just respect. It's a little more than that. What God expects from us and commands of us in regard to how we treat other people, it's a little more than just respect. They're made in the image of God. How can you say you love God and hate your brother who's made in God's image? You can't do that. To look at other people and realize they are made in God's image and likeness also. It elevates them to a different place than a dog. Or any other kind of pet. People act like their dogs or their children. Yes. It's not only disgusting, it's irreverent and ungodly, in my opinion. That's just the way it is. It's an animal. It's not made in the image and likeness of God. And I've just noticed this, that people that love dogs don't like people very much. And I hear them even saying it. They'd rather have a dog than a friend, a human friend. Well, pity you is all I got to say. True dignity means true honor. Nobleness or elevation of mind. Now watch that word, elevation. Dignity has to do with elevation. Raising up, setting up in a higher place. And we're not talking about us having dignity. We're talking about us making sure that other people have to, that we regard the dignity of other people. Elevation of mind, consisting in a high sense of propriety, truth and justice, with an abhorrence of mean and sinful actions. The man who deliberately injures another, whether male or female, has no true dignity of soul. Elevation, honorable place or rank of elevation. We're talking about dignity. This is what it means. Degree of excellence, either in estimation or in the order of nature. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, the Bible talks about. Those wicked false prophets and evil people. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Because they have no dignity of soul themselves. It means elevation, again, of aspect. Grandeur of mien, as the man of native dignity. Well, this is Webster's definitions. Elevation of deportment. How he acts. Dignity has to do with how you act. The way you carry yourself. The way your poise and everything. Dignity. People don't have much dignity anymore. They don't dress nice. They don't fix their hair. They don't care. They're unclean. They're unkempt. They're disorderly. Dignity has to do with orderly. And elevation of deportment. Elevation of aspect. You get up. you rise up till you can see things better and see farther. So the word carries the meaning of being elevated from baseness in every aspect. So, respect and honor and dignity. Now here's what I believe. I believe that failing to respect others is the most common transgression that people commit before God. I've thought about this. We were talking about it yesterday or the day before, I don't remember. But this is a matter that is, I've been thinking on it for a couple of days, and it's, and I've just realized how basic this is to morality, and how that it's the most common thing that where we transgress before God. Respecting other people, honoring other people, respecting the dignity of other people. The Bible's full of commandments and instructions about this matter. I mean, the Bible is full of them. When you get to looking at this, it's everywhere. When Jesus reduced the entire moral law into 2 points, this was one of them. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the whole law is based on. Jesus said unto him, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All of the moral law is based on those 2 points. Love God supremely and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's your neighbor? Yes. Your fellow man. Saved or not. He couldn't have emphasized more how we are to be toward other people. I mean, he couldn't have come up with a better superlative about this than what he did. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, I mean, he cut right to the heart, right to the root of it all. Not just how we speak to them, not just how we treat them, but how we think toward them in our heart. There's where the issue is at. If you think in your heart toward them properly, you're going to speak to them differently. You're going to treat them differently. Failing to respect other people is the most, it's the root of all strife and all division. I don't know if you can think of this or not. Write some of this down so you can study about this. It's the reason for all the division. All of it. It's the reason for all the strife. Somebody is not respecting somebody else. They're not regarding their life, their worth, their dignity, their honor. Nothing. They're not regarding it. When we show disrespect for someone, they immediately put up a wall between them and us. Now, you know that's right. It immediately goes up. I mean, they're done with you. That's it. You've lost them. You disrespect them. You speak evil of them, to them. You speak condescending to them. You... Anyway, even a look will do it. Doesn't have to be words. Just a look. You know, look down your nose at somebody. You've heard that expression. The expression on your face tells them what you think about them, or how you disdain them, or how you think they're stupid, or you don't think they're worth. You know, I was thinking about it. Jesus was rough on those Pharisees. He had some hard things to say to them. But did Jesus ever say to anybody, you are worthless, you are stupid? No. He pointed out their wickedness. He called them hypocrites. He called them vipers. But it was always about their wickedness. He did it without disrespecting their person. Can you understand that? He didn't stoop to where all of our society is now.
See?
This is why, this is one of the reasons why we're in such disarray now. In our government, in our country, in every public discussion, it has degenerated into personal attacks and insults, and everybody hates everybody because everybody thinks everybody else is worthless and stupid. It's not based anymore on righteousness and wickedness, good and evil. That's not where the argument's at. It's just that these people just hate one another. And all that comes, that's one of the big failings of the president right now. You know, this is not how to get things done. When you insult people and you just, and that's the way you go about business, it's not going to work. It's only going to make things worse and worse and worse. And this applies to everyone. Everybody that we have any kind of social interaction with, we've got to respect them. If we disrespect them, the wall goes up. That includes husband and wife, family, parents, children, siblings. It all works the same way with everybody. People you work with, people you live with. If you don't respect them, you lose them. Husband, wife, family. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. This is the verse I mentioned a while ago. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Husbands 12, verse 9. Husbands. Hebrews 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? We reverenced our fathers after the flesh who chastened us. Yeah. They corrected us and we gave them reverence. So respect is not always reciprocated. Have you all learned that yet in life? Just because you respect someone doesn't mean they're going to respect you. So does that give you the open door to disrespect them? Hand it back to them. What are you supposed to do? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Oh, the Bible's full of it. Full of it. Full of the commands, full of the instructions, the proverbs, and the example of Christ and others in the Bible. But respect, it's not always reciprocated, but respect is certainly lost for someone who shows no respect. If you do not respect others, others are not going to respect you. I guarantee you, you will get no respect. So, disrespect shows a disdain and a disregard for the person and the life of another. It's a symptom of pure selfish thinking by a person who lives in a realm where they imagine themselves better and higher than everybody else. And most people live in that kind of realm. They really do. And that's why there's so much disrespect for others. That's why it's such a habit with everybody. That's why that it goes on so much. And that's why there's so much strife and trouble everywhere, on the job, in the home, at the church, everywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. I mean, you can go to the store and you can see it there. People don't, you get on the road and drive, you see it there. Nobody has any regard for anybody else. Ain't nobody going to help nobody else. In fact, it's all about trampling over somebody and being first. When you get on the highway and start driving, like on the interstate, that's what it's all about. It's like a race where you get in front. And everybody's trying to do it. But it's a symptom of pure selfish thinking when we disrespect somebody else. It shows that we do not even consider the other a person at all, but a thing. That's the way we look at them. Disrespect says that we don't consider their feelings. Certainly does. There's no way you can disrespect somebody and have any kind of concern at all for their feelings. You're not looking at them as a person. You're just looking at them as a thing. You know what? I know I've worked with people before, and you know, I've never had too much trouble with people I worked with, but I have a few times. I've worked with people I didn't like because they was hateful, or I thought they were. I've watched other people mistreat others, though, at work. I remember, you know, it's funny how it is. I remember working years ago when I was real young, and there was like a couple of men that worked there, and they couldn't read or write. And they couldn't figure. They had to, the way the job was, they had to be able to do some math to figure out how to do their job, and they couldn't do it. And they'd come to me, and I'd figure it for them, and nobody knew, because if they found out, they'd have lost their job, probably. And if they hadn't lost their job, everybody would have laughed at them. There were some people they wouldn't go to ask them to help them. You know why? Because they'd have laughed at them. They'd have made fun of them. They would have made them a joke. They would have told everybody. Is that disrespect? Yes, sir. Is that dishonoring them? Yes. Respect and honor and dignity. Disrespect, dishonor, and demean them. Yes. Rob them of any dignity. It says we don't consider. But you know, people like that, when you see them away from the job and like some of them, we'd see them at a church somewhere. And they'd have their family with them and their kids. Or we'd go to their house, and then it's all different. You see a whole different thing there than what you see at work. And it kind of opens your eyes and makes you think, you know. You remember the harsh things people said to them at work and the dirty things people did to them at work. And makes you feel real bad toward those people who are disrespecting them and dishonoring them. If you have any concern for the souls and the persons of other people, we see them as trees walking and not clearly as a human being who has all the feelings and concerns and problems of life that we do. So disrespect happens when foolish talk and joking and jesting begin. Now you better listen to this. We ain't got too much problem around here with that, but I know some places they do. And I know at work it's a bad deal too. It's a bad problem. Here, listen to this. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness. Now, I'm not talking about all that stuff, but look at what he's talking about when he puts this right in the middle of it. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. As becometh sinners, if you believe what everybody else, if we're just sinners, why? As becometh sinners. Now, that really makes sense, doesn't it? No, as becometh saints. Don't let that stuff even be named among you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Foolish talk and jesting. What's jesting? Yes, it's making fun. It's being witty. Foolish talking and jesting are included in this list of the most gross sins. And the next verse affirms that people who do those things are not going to heaven. That's what the next verse says. These people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to heaven. People that do this stuff. Foolish talking and jesting. Because it leads to more ungodliness. And it leads to this thing of dishonor and disrespect. It all begins as fun. But somebody always ends up getting hurt. Making fun. You know, picking and just singling somebody. Somebody always gets singled out. And then they're the butt of the jokes. And everybody laughs and thinks it's funny. And they may laugh or smile, but they don't think it's funny. You don't think it's funny when it's you. Why do people do that? Don't they understand what that's doing there? You're separating somebody away that's eventually going to leave you because they're not going to put up with it. It goes on in churches and people joke around and horseplay, they call it at work. You know, right, boys, no horseplay. Well, you know why? Because it's going to end up in a fight. And it's going to end up with somebody getting hurt. Maybe physically, but it's certainly going to hurt somebody's feelings. And it's going to cause division and separation. I can tell you about churches where they got a big problem with this. Because it's always laughing and always funny. And it's always seeing who can insult the hardest. And it's all supposed to be funny, but it never stays funny. They've been put in their place by those around them, and they smart for it. Foolish talking and jesting, which is wittiness. You know, being able to cut down others with words while laughing about it. Bible says these are to be avoided. Don't do that. Bible says don't do that. Don't be joking and insulting each other. And laughing at each other. And making fun of each other. It's just not funny. It's only funny to everybody that's not the target of it. It's disrespecting people. That's what it is. We ought to determine and resolve that we'll not treat others that way. And that we'll be careful and mindful of their feelings. Everybody's got their little quirks. And boy, ain't people good at spotting them. And ain't people good at bringing it to the attention of everybody else. I mean, boy, you say one little thing. You do one little thing. It can happen that way. But everybody's got their little things about them. It might be a fault. It might be just a funny way of doing stuff or thinking. But when people start pecking at it, like chickens that peck at another chicken when they got a... You know, you get a chicken, if they ever draw blood, that chicken's a goner. Because they'll start pecking and they won't quit until she's dead. And ain't that awful that people will do the same thing? They won't stop. They don't know when to stop. They have no discretion. There was a word I was looking for because that's what the word means. It means you don't know when to stop. You have no discernment about it. We should rather seek to heal the wounds others have inflicted on people and reestablish and reinforce their dignity. Now, do you hear me? That's what we ought to have in mind. We ought to care about people, and you ought to look for the person that's been wounded and try to help them instead of jumping on them with the rest of them. People can treat others with respect when they have some selfish view in their sight. You know, if they have in view some way that they will benefit from it, people can certainly be respectful to somebody. If they think, this is going to help me, This will benefit me. They got money. They got pull. I might be able to get a better job. They might help me some way. Oh, you'll stumble over yourself to be respectful to them. So you can do it. People can respect other people. This is what the Bible refers to as respect of persons. That's a whole different thing than what we're talking about. It's always condemned in the Bible, many times in the Old Testament, many times in the New Testament. Jesus speaks about it. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. James chapter 2, verse 9, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Now, it's not talking about the kind of respect we've been talking about here. Having respect of persons, in that sense, is completely different than truly honoring and respecting other people. It's pure selfishness, while respecting and honoring others is purely benevolent. You with me? Having respect of persons. Treating people differently because of how much it will benefit you or be a burden to you. People that will help you, you're good to them. People that might be a burden to you, you shun them or you dishonor them. That's sin. Plain and simple. You're a transgressor in God's sight when you are a respecter of persons. Well, that kind of takes care of racial things and everything, don't it? Yeah. I'm no racist. I don't see how in the world anybody could think I was a racist. But I don't care if you're black or white or red or yellow. What I'm concerned about and the way that I look at you is whether you're wicked or a righteous person. If you're wicked, you're a wicked black man. If you're black, if you're white and wicked, you're a wicked white man. And I don't believe we ought to ignore morality because of the color of their skin or the country they came from or anything else. But there's a lot of people who do. They consider a person's worth by the color of their skin or what language they speak or what country they came from or what other race they belong to. And that's sin, according to the Bible. People can recognize the evil of disrespect when it's someone disrespecting someone they love. Your wife. I mean, you get real touchy. Somebody disrespect your wife. Your wife get real haughty if somebody disrespects your husband. Your child. Somebody disdain them, degrade them, treat them like they're a thing, a worthless thing. Oh, you're going to get indignant about that real quick. So people can recognize that it's evil to disrespect someone. But there's a disconnect when it comes to others. And we laugh with those who dishonor them and regard them as nothing. We'll laugh with them. Have you ever done that and then realize what you've done and think, oh no. Then on the other hand, it seems that close friends and family a lot of times use that familiarity as an excuse to dishonor or show no respect. Right. Well, it's just my brother, it's just my sister, it's just my wife, just my, you know. We feel like we got the liberty to say anything, do anything, treat them any old way because they're this close and it don't matter. Oh, it does matter. It's what divides families. It's what separates children from parents. Yes. Always, always, it's always this. Yes. Lack of respect. on one part or the other. Children disrespect and dishonor their parents, sure. But parents do the same thing with their children also. I see that a lot in people that when their children grow up and get married, they just think they can just still talk to them and treat them and interfere in their life and everything just like they were 10, 12-year-old kids. And those are very foolish parents. Those are the parents that end up in a nursing home by themselves and nobody comes to see them. Those are the parents that never have anything to do with their grandchildren and never have anything to do with their children. They go away and they never see them. Because they don't respect and honor and dignify. Well, yeah, but I just know how dumb they are, and they just need... No, this supersedes everything. Nobody has to qualify to be respected by you. Nobody has to earn it. Nobody has to be in a certain position, wait for a certain time. Everybody should honor everybody else, regardless. Say, well, what about a murderer or a rapist? And you ought to honor them. You ought to respect the fact that they are a soul and that they are still a person. And you need to remember the kind of people that God has saved and forgiven and redeemed. And never write somebody off because of their sin and say, well, they're worthless. And treat them that way. Ain't you glad Jesus wasn't that way? He didn't look at Mary Magdalene that way. He didn't look at the woman of Samaria that way. He didn't look at his disciples who were thieves and everything else. Matthew said at the receipt of custom. Zacchaeus, remember him? When he got saved, he promised to restore fourfold everything that he had stole. Well, I'm glad Jesus wasn't that way. You know why? Because he had respect to their person. I mean, the definitions we read, the value, he regarded the value of their soul. It's a soul of a person that's worth more than all the world. I mean, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. There's nothing that equals that value. And when we forget that and we treat them as if they're a piece of junk or dirt or worthless, we're a transgressor in the sight of God. And it's a big issue. But the family, the familiar people, they're the very people where we should be learning first to show honor and respect. If you want your children to ever have any kind of a life, there's two things you better really bear in, and that is lying, and that is respecting other people. You better do whatever you got to do to put that in them. If they don't respect other people, they are going to be a total wreck and disaster in life. So it's among ourselves, among our familiars, that we learn how to respect other people. If people at home don't respect one another, they're not going to respect people out there either. They might act like they do because of advantage. You know, having their persons in admiration because of advantage. Remember that little saying in the New Testament? Paul said that about those other people. They were just pretending to respect other people because it was an advantage to them. This failure to honor other people is the doom of civilized people. Any crime committed against another person is because of this missing character trait. No respect. How can you steal from somebody if you respect them? You can't. You do not respect them. You do not honor them. You do not esteem them as anything except just another prey for you to prey upon. So the failure to honor other people, it's at the root of all this. It's the underlying reason for all the hatred, strife, frustration, where people are living and working and driving or doing anything together. It is the underlying reason for all of the strife and hatred and everything. It's not respecting one another. Honoring other people is the very basis of all moral law. It really is. I've thought about all these things I'm saying, you know, deeply, and it is true. It is true. This matter here is the very basis of all moral law. Jesus said so in the verse I read you in Matthew 22 when we started here. Jesus said so. It does not consist of a list of rules and laws that we're forced to live by. You know, you don't really show respect for somebody else by just doing certain things habitually for them. It's not that way. It's not a list of rules and things that you do. It's the nature of a heart that is submitted to God to love others as himself. Matthew 5, verse 43 through 48. Let me read this to you. This is Jesus talking. He said, "You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." How about that? One of the signs of perfection, which is maturity, as a Christian, as a child of God, is learning to treat others with respect, no matter what they do to you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Normal person would have been praying for God to kill them, for God to judge them, be a warning them, but they're going to be sorry. Respect does not have to be earned. It is the duty of every person to respect others. No one has the right to demand respect before he will give it. It's not based upon mutual respect, but on the love and obedience to God and his character. So the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, "Honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So I hope that you will think about this some more and get an understanding of it in your own mind and heart. I really think this ought to come naturally when you're saved. Sometimes we need to be jarred because we get in a habit of saying and doing and carrying on and all that. And every once in a while, we need somebody to say, "Hey, need to stop that. Need to remember." That's right. Every soul is precious and every life is precious. And this matter here is one of the biggest factors in determining what happens to them in this life and in eternity. Man, I'm sitting here thinking of people that I know that were separated forever from their family because of this right here. I've thought about all kinds of situations and things that I've known of, and this, when you think about it, it all comes right back to this. Right back to this. This world is so messed up. And, you know, marriages can't last anymore. Everybody's out of order. Men are not men. Women are not women. Women want to be men. Men want to be women. Or they don't know what they want to be. Either one of them. They get married and it's a terrible mess because they have no regard or respect for one another. They're both two selfish people that just married one another for their own selfish purposes and satisfaction. And so they didn't run over one another until the whole thing just blows sky high. Women need to understand this, that their husband, the number one thing that he needs from them is respect. Men need to understand that the women need that same thing. Yes. Respect.
Yes, yes.
Honor one another. Regard the dignity of other people. It's not pride. Dignity is not pride. When you lose your dignity, you're brought low. Dignity is elevation, see? And people that have been picked on and beat on and made fun of, and they've been the target for all their life, they're not going to have any dignity. And that's why somebody needs to come along and help them by treating them like they're somebody. And I don't mean lavishing, spoiling, and being stupid. I'm just talking, you know what I'm talking about. Just, you can't get anywhere with anybody in any situation, any circumstance, if you're going to... I mean, Gary, you can't sell somebody a car if you talk down to them when they come in there and you treat them like they're stupid. No, you have to honor them. You have to treat them like you think they're somebody. You know? And I don't mean like they're somebody, but they're just... You don't look down upon them and you don't look at them as though they are just another victim for you. It's that way with every interaction that we have with everybody in life. Oh. Young people grow up, they go to try to get a job, and the way this world is now, they're not taught respect at home. They're not taught respect in school. When I went to public school, we had to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. We couldn't say yeah. We couldn't sit there like a dumb mute when they talked to us. You had to answer. You had to look at them and answer, and yes, sir, yes, ma'am. That's wrong. No, you're in the wrong world. That's what's wrong. This world's messed up and wrong. You teach children, that's the whole purpose of teaching them to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. Respect! Don't teach them that they're the boss. And they don't have to listen. That's what, see how absurd and how abominable it is for parents to teach their children, you don't have to listen to nobody but me. Yes. You better believe it. It's damning to their soul. You're creating monsters. And what they don't understand is they ain't going to listen to them either. When I was a kid, anybody could whoop me. And Dad was too. Dad got a whooping at the barber shop down here one day. That's the world we used to live in. Children learn respect one way or another. It's important. It's important. All right. Let's stand. All right, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth here. Wish I could have done a better job making it clear and pressing it home more. Pray you'd help us all to remember these things and live them in front of our children, in front of one another. Help us, Lord, to realize that this is the basic moral law. And it has to do with how we feel about, look at, how we esteem and value other people. And then how we treat them. Lord, help us, I pray, to do what's pleasing in your sight. And to treat them like you would. In Jesus' name, amen.